We're going to jump back into our study on the Christ-centered home, or a child-centered home. And now we're looking at a Christ-centered home. What does that look like? So let's go ahead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help each of us to have Christ-centered homes, Lord, not child-centered or self-centered homes. But God, please teach us, help us be humble and willing to listen to your word and to take the correction that's necessary. And Lord, just that we'd be willing to follow you, and we ask you to teach us, please. And Lord, just help me as I deliver this message. I pray that you would speak through me and use me and help me not to say anything that I shouldn't. God, I need your help. I want your help. And Lord, I pray you can use this to help bless families and Lord, even future families that may not even be in existence yet, but you get a hold of some of these young people and teach them these truths and they would apply them to their life and even their child rearing when they do have children. Please help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so a Christ-centered home. In a Christ-centered home, children learn to not divide parents on disciplinary issues. So a Christ-centered home does not divide parents on disciplinary issues. What does that mean? It's going to put one against the other. You know, many times it'll look like this. You know, well, I asked, you know, the kid already asked mom. Mom said no, so the kid goes and asks dad. And dad's like, well, sure, go ahead. And then, look, now there's a problem between mom and dad. Or, you know, if maybe, and here's typically how it happens, not always, but, you know, usually the dad is going to be more harsh than the mom will be more sympathetic. So the dad says something, no, we're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, or whatever it is, they take something away, ground them, whatever it may be, you know, and the mom's just like, the kid looks to the mom all sympathetic, and the mom kind of wants to side with the kid and says something, well, honey, you don't have to be that harsh, it doesn't have to be that bad. So what's going on? They're dividing the parent on disciplinary issues. The problem is with the child. Okay, the problem is with the child. But I'll back up one from that and say the child got like that because the parents let them get like that. So ultimately, the problem is with the parent. The problem is with the parent. Now, at some point, all of us are responsible for our own actions. The point we want here is let's not train our children to be like this. Let's not allow them. And look, every parent's been guilty of this, okay? We've all done it, all right? I mean, we've all seen that, you know, whatever, we've taken one kid, the kid's side instead of siding with the other parent. Look, parents, let me help you out. Please, let me help you out. Never fight and argue over the discipline of your children in front of them. Never. Never. You are breaking down the authority that God has set in your home. You might think you're doing something good and I'm just protecting my little baby. No, you're not. You're hurting your children when you do that. Because you're destroying the authority that's set in the home. Especially the wife. If you go against what your husband says, you are destroying the authority in your home. You're saying, kids, you really don't have to listen to your dad because I don't. That's the message you're giving them. When you don't listen to your husband, if he says something and you go against it in front of the children, you're teaching and training your children that, hey, what daddy says isn't really important. You do what I say. Well, if mom doesn't have to listen to dad, then why do I have to listen to mom? So mom, if that's the case, if that's how you're living and that's how you're treating things, let me just say to you, don't get upset when your kids don't listen to you. Because all you've done is train them not to listen to authority. It's your fault. It's your fault. I could say the same thing to husbands, though. If your wife says something, back her up. Back her up, because it's the same thing. You're still destroying authority in the home. Now, I get it. The husband's the head of the home, but you're destroying the authority that the mother has with the children. So when you're not there, why are they going to listen to her? And you get home from work, you're like, why do I have to deal with this? Why didn't you? Well, because you've trained the kids. They don't have to listen to mom. That's why. So now you get to deal with it. Back each other up. Even if you don't agree with it. Deal with that later in your bedroom by yourself. And be like, honey, why? That was like harsh what you said. You really shouldn't say it like that. And you know your spouses, so you know how and when to do it, but don't do it in front of the kids. You're only hurting yourselves. And you're hurting your children. So in a Christ-centered home, children learn to divide parents on, they do not divide parents on disciplinary issues. Here's a Bible example here. Obviously, this is speaking to a church, but let's look at it. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I hope this is a verse that we all have memorized. The principle this teaches applies just across the board here. So Romans 16, 17. And we're talking about in a Christ-centered home, children do not divide parents on disciplinary issues. So there's no division. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause what? Divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So God's saying someone that's going to come in and cause division, you want to stay away from them because it's harmful for you. So let's not treat or let's not train, teach, or allow our children to bring division into our home. We don't allow that. Now, here's something that I've not had to deal with, so I can't say I have experience in this, but if there was an issue with one of my children and they're rebelling against what I'm saying and they just will not listen and it's just constant and constant and constant and I'm constantly battling with them about it, eventually it's going to come to the point where what this child is doing is harming the rest of my family and get out. I'm not going to have this in my home. Leave. And some people might look at me and say, you wouldn't do that. Okay, well, maybe I wouldn't. I beg to differ. I would. But thank God I don't have to experience that. I haven't had to as of yet. I'm not saying I won't ever. Lord willing, I don't ever have to deal with that. But as of yet, I haven't had to. And I'm not saying it's outside of the realm of possibility because, hey, my kids are sinners just like the rest of the world. And they can do wrong just like the rest of the world. Amen. But that's what it comes down to. You can't have division come in. It'll destroy. It'll destroy. And I know, look, we love our children, all of them. All of them, even if some of you do have favorites, I don't. Or my kids are like, I'm telling you, I don't have favorites, all right? They don't think that. Hey, I'm not asking for opinions here. We're not taking a vote or something on if Pastor has favorites, all right? What do you guys, calm down over there, all right? Oh, man. I don't even know where I was going now. Look what happened with this. All right, but we need not divide or let our children divide our home. Okay? Don't let them do that. Don't allow them to come in and bring division because that'll just hurt the rest of your children. So I know you love that one just as much as you love the others. But that one can destroy the others as well. And we as parents can't allow that. If we truly love all of them, then we have to let that one that wants to stay in rebellion, you got to go then. And it's not even you making the choice. You as a parent, you're not the one making that choice. And look, before I would ever do that, I'd be talking to my kid about it. I'd be like, look, if you don't fix things, you're going to have to be gone. We want you here. Fix this. Get your attitude straight. You're bringing division and strife and problems into our home. There's going to be a lot of conversations like that. But eventually, they made the choice. It's not you making that choice. You forced me to do this. By your actions, by your choices, you made this decision for me. It was your actions that made this decision, not mine. I wanted you here, but you weren't willing to submit. That's what all this comes down to, submission. For every single one of us, it comes down to submission. Submission to the Lord. When we submit to the Lord, we'll submit to the Word of God. When we submit to the Word of God, we'll follow the proper order in the home. Now look, maybe most of our life we were raised the wrong way. We were raised to be self-centered and to have a child-centered home, and we were that child that had the home centered around us. Maybe that's how we were raised all of our life. But there comes a time when we get to the age and we know that what we're doing is wrong. Even if we've been trained that our whole life, we know that it's wrong, we know that it's selfish, and we make the choice of whether or not we're going to do that. Whether or not we're going to act in that manner. We make the choice. So parents, you know, it's going to be hard as it is if you ever have to do that. And Lord willing, none of us ever have to do that. But if you have to, if you ever have to, know that it's not you making the choice. Your child made that choice because they wanted to divide the home on disciplinary issues. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:3. So what is it when someone wants to bring division? 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for ye are yet carnal. He's talking to a church here. He says in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, you're acting like babies. That's just what you're doing. He says, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? So whenever someone's bringing division, what are they doing? They're being carnal. That's what they're doing. When they're bringing division, they're being carnal. Paul said, I wanted to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but I had to speak unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when we have somebody in our home that is bringing in division, God says that that person that brings in division is carnal. When they're dividing the home, they're carnal. They're going after their flesh, or they're being a baby. They're acting like a baby. Babies are naturally self-centered. Period. To a baby, it's all about that baby. Oh, you're tired, Mom? I don't care. Get up. I'm hungry. And if you don't, I'm going to start screaming at you. That's how it works. I mean, babies are naturally self-centered. It's all about me. Like, I want that. Give it to me. Give it to me. I want it. Now I'm done with that. I want that. I mean, that's how babies act. It's all about them. They're self-centered. So when we want to bring in division, what are we doing? We're being carnal as unto babes. We're acting like a spoiled brat. We're acting like a baby. To babies, it's all about them. The world revolves around me. So if there's division in our home, and we're the responsible party for why that division is brought in, then we are acting like a baby. We're being carnal. It's all about my flesh. It's all about me. Because that's what carnality is. It's my flesh. I want this. I want to gratify me. I don't care what anyone else in this house wants. I don't care if I make this house miserable for everybody else. Because what you want doesn't matter. It's what I want that matters. That's how it is. You don't matter. You're here to serve me. Give me what I want. Isn't that how a baby is? That's how babies are, right? It's the same way when a 13-year-old acts like that. It's the same way. It's about me, or a 16-year-old, or 17-year-old, or a 5-year-old, or a dad, as a 36-year-old, or whatever it may be, or a mom. It's the same thing. We're acting like babies. So when we see that in ourselves, well, we need to check it. We need to confess it as sin to God and say, God, I'm sorry, help me not want it to be all about me. And we start serving others. Sometimes we get off our lazy bum and start serving others. Get up and do something that your wife normally does. I'm telling you, just get up and start cleaning the house. Even if you do it wrong. Amen? Even if you do it wrong. Because some of us do it wrong sometimes. But just get up and help. Do something. Give her a massage. Do something. Just help. Do something. Serve somebody else. So you're denying your flesh and you're saying, it's not about me. Let me help somebody else. You cook dinner instead of your wife. I'm just telling you, honestly, in most houses, the wives are the ones that do more than anybody. Can I get a husband? Can I have a husband raise their hand to that and testify that that's how it is? Right? Okay, it's the wives do more than anybody else most of the time. I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time. Man, my wife works so hard. She does so much. I mean, my wife even, she combs our furniture. All right, I'm telling you. She combs. Some of you are like, what? I'll just leave it at that. She's getting embarrassed now. She works hard. I know. Huh? I'm just saying, my wife works hard. Let's take some of the load off our wives at times. And I get it, we can't always do that. But wives, you can do the same thing for your husband. You know, have food ready for him when he gets home. Or whatever it is that he likes. You know, if you know he wants coffee right when he's awake, have it ready for him. Whatever it is, just serve him. And I know wives are usually better at that than husbands. That's just the way it goes. And it doesn't need to be. Men work on it. So it's not just that way. But, you know, we need to get where it's not always about us. Kids, get where it's not always about you and what you want. The world doesn't revolve around you. Oh, I only got to sleep for 16 hours today. It's not always about you. I know that's brutal. It's hard when you can only sleep for like 12 to 16 hours. It's a rough life. But get up and do something. Man, clean the house. I mean, the house should be clean. Your home all day or whatever it may be. I mean, do something. You haven't even begun to enter into life where it's like, if you think you're tired now, just wait. Because I've been tired since I was like 18. I haven't not been tired that whole time till now. All right, I've just been tired. It doesn't ever go away. Just get up and do what you got to do. Help out. Without being asked even. Man, that's like a novel idea right there. Without being asked, just do it. You know, I mean, we've got this thing in our house. It's strange that we have this hallway. And I think it's meant to collect clothes. I think that's what it's for. Because they're just there and everyone just like sees it. I mean, and I'll purposely put stuff like in the middle of the hallway and everyone's just like, oh, hey, let's go to my room. I'm like, does that belong to anyone? Anyone have anything in the hall? They're like, no. You know, as they go, I don't know what it is. But I mean, you're allowed to like pick stuff up in your house that without being told. I mean, it's a great idea. Just, you know, it's not always about you, you know. Amen. All right. Alicia just like went down like that. They must not have been talking about her, but somebody else. I don't know. All right. So this type of action by children is all rooted in pride. All of it. Now, again, this applies to any of us. But we're looking at a child-centered home or a Christ-centered home. And this selfish action is rooted in pride. Let's look at Ezekiel 16:49. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. What's the first thing listed? This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. So why was Sodom, as we look at Sodom and Gomorrah, so rebellious against God? Because it was all rooted in pride. Pride, it's all about me. And that's the same thing we can have in a child-centered home. It's going to be rooted in pride of whatever person that may fall on in whatever situation it may be. But specifically, we're looking at this, the child that the home is centered on. It's rooted in pride. And you're teaching your child to be proud. You're really putting stumbling blocks before your child. If you have a child-centered home, you're only hurting your child. I know it's hard to discipline them and tell them no and not give them everything they want, but that's what you have to do for their own good. Otherwise, you're hurting that child. I'm serious. It's like we joke about it and I joke about it with the millennials and them crying and whining about everything. But look, what we see happening with millennials today, and I think the presidency is a perfect example, how they were all crying. And I mean, they're even, you know, giving them safe spaces and having special classes for them in college campuses so they can go cry and talk about their feelings and all that stuff. I mean, as ridiculous as that is, and it's ridiculous to me. Amen. I mean, we still ought to teach boys to be men. Amen. And to act like men. And if someone's like, oh, what, men can't cry? No, I mean, men cry, obviously, but sometimes you got to suck it up and do what you got to do and act like a man and be strong for other people and not be so soft and effeminate. Seriously, leave that to women. Leave the effeminacy to women. Amen. They're supposed to be feminine. Effeminate means the characteristics of a woman. Men should never act like that. And when you see it in your boys, stop it. I'm telling you, if you see them just say something even the wrong way, speak the wrong way, sit the wrong way, anything like that, that has the characteristics of a woman, stop them and teach them. Say, no, we don't do it like that. Because look, the world's teaching them all that's okay. Our world's telling them it's okay, so stop it. Let them be men. But you've got this, you know, we make fun of the snowflakes and all this stuff, and they're always crying about everything. Look, this is what happens when a generation, I remember when we first, my kids when they were young, like 4 and 5 years old, I think it was, maybe 5 and 6, the oldest two, we put them in T-ball. And I remember I was mad when I found out that they don't keep score. I was like, what? They don't keep score. It's like, why don't they keep score? I'm like, we're just teaching them the game. They're all winners. I'm like, no, that is not life. That's not life. There's losers in life. Amen. And I would keep score. I'd be like, you guys lost. or you won, whatever it was. But I'm like, that's ridiculous. There's losers in life. There's winners in life, but it's that. It's the generation of, hey, everybody gets a trophy, yay. We're all winners. That just means you're all losers. What is second place? My kids already know. Second place is just the first loser. Right? I was like, ah, ouch, right? You're just the first loser if you get second. That's all it means. Some of you are like, that's harsh. Yeah, but maybe it is a little bit. But Brother Josh was like, no, that's not. You know, but that's what we need to teach boys. There are losers in life. You're not always going to get the promotion. Maybe you do deserve it. But someone's cousin got it. That's life. Deal with it. I don't like my boss. So? They probably don't like you either. Deal with it. That's life. That's life. But they get used to getting everything handed to them and they can't handle it when they don't get what they want because we've trained them to be full of pride, to be rooted in pride. We've trained them that. That's what we've given them and taught them. Pride always brings contention. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13 verse 10. So when we have a child-centered home rather than a Christ-centered home, we bring all these problems into our home. Where when we teach them, it's all about you. We're teaching them to be full of pride or to focus on self. And with that is going to come contention. So if your home is centered on your child and everything the child wants, the child gets. And you know, look, the sleeping schedule has to revolve around the child and all that. I'm like, no, it does not revolve around the child. The child's life revolves around typically the mom. What the mom wants. Because the mom's the one home with them. But even in that, I mean, if my wife is doing things like that I don't want, I'm like, no, we're fixing that. That we're not going that way because I don't want to deal with that when I'm home. You know, if I'm home and I want to sleep at night, I don't want to listen to this kid crying all night. I'm serious. So we're going to fix that. Don't let the kid sleep all day. Oh, how harsh and what's wrong with you? Look, I'm just telling you, the child is not there. Our world is not going to revolve around that child. The child's world revolves around us. They're dependent on us. We're going to teach them this. So if we are teaching them it's all about you, we're telling them, hey, be lifted up with pride. Be filled with pride because, hey, our world revolves and exists for you. What do you need? When do you need it? And as fast as we can get it to you, we'll get it to you. No, it's not like that. You know, it's like you can't get what you want, throw your fit, and if you keep it up for too long, I'm going to whoop you. That's how that is. I'm dead serious, too. That's how I treated my children. It's almost like I almost didn't even let them cry. I mean, my mom told me, I don't know how many times I grew up hearing this, you want a reason to cry? I'll give you a reason to cry. It's like, no. You know, try not to cry. You know, lip shaking and everything. I'm okay. You know, you're done. Just stop. Stop crying. The world doesn't revolve around you. So pride always brings contention. Proverbs 13:10. Only by what? Pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So pride and only by pride brings contention. That's what brings contention in a home. So if there's contention in our home, what's the root cause? Pride. So then if that's the case, then what do we need to do to stamp it out? I mean, there could be all sorts of different things, but we need to find it out and be like, we got to stop doing this. We can't allow this anymore. And look, parents, a lot of this, I've said it before, it's going to come back to like, man, we messed up parenting. Okay, and join the club. We're all there. All right, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, just this morning driving here, my kids were talking about things and the way I was, and I'm like, I was just, it's shameful. Just shameful. Shameful, some of the things I did and said. I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed of it. I don't even want people to know. Like bringing it up, it's still like just a dagger in the heart. I'm like, ugh. But we got to fix it. Don't continue it just because like, well, this is what we've always done. Well, it's going to be really hard if we try and fix it now. Okay, well, I cannot get this across enough. I wish I could just get this across to every parent I see out there. It frustrates me that parents don't see this and don't get it. But seriously, if you can stop this when they're like 2 to 5 years old, even if you've messed up, and it will be hard, but I'm telling you, it is nothing at that age like it's going to be when they're like 13 to 20.
Yep, amen.
There's no comparison. Because here, you're bigger than them. Okay, here, their natural response is to submit to you. Now, some kids have an iron will, and you're going to have to break that will still. But it's easier over here when they're like 2 to 5, or even somewhat older, than it is over here when you're like, man, we got to fix this now, and this boy does not want to listen to anything I tell him. And he's fighting me about everything. What do I do? And if you don't stop it over there, when you get over here and he gets to be like 18, 19, 20, you really want your son swinging on you? Fighting you? I've heard of daughters going and slapping their mom, punching their mom. I'm like, yeah, try that in my house. I'll be on you like white on rice, and that's not going to fly in my home. And none of us should let that either. But look, prevent it starting over here when they're 2 to 5. Younger. But it's easier to fix it right here than it is over here. You're doing yourself a favor if you do that. Pride is going to bring contention, okay? Pride hardens our mind. This is why people become obstinate in their sin, because it hardens us. Go to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20. Daniel 5:20. This is speaking about King Nebuchadnezzar. He says in verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. But what we're pointing out here, we're not necessarily looking at everything that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. I just want to point this part out, though, that his heart's lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride. Have you ever stood firm and said and argued something and argued your point? And you're like, no, it's this, and you're adamant about it, and you're arguing with everyone about it, and then all of a sudden it dawns on you that you're wrong and they're right, and you still don't admit it? Anybody ever been there, or just me? All right, we got one other person in here that's been like that. Okay, 2, 3. All right, hey, all right, I'm not alone in that. All right, hey, we don't like to admit that we're wrong, do we? Because our pride says, no, 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 no. It hardens our mind, and we say, nope. I'm not giving in. That's what pride will do to us. That's how someone can remain obstinate in their sin. They're just, no, I'm going to persist in it. Because if I get this right, then that means my parents were right. And I'm not about to admit that. If I get this right, then that means that preacher was right. And I'm not about to admit that. If I get this right, then that means God was right. And I'm not about to admit that. This is why people continue in their sin. Not always why, but that's one of the reasons, is because their pride says, no, I'm not admitting I was wrong. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay in this. And look, if we want to see our homes destroyed, if we realize there's problems and we recognize we need to fix them, but we're going to remain obstinate in it and just keep it the way it's been, you're continuing to seek sin. You're just going to destroy your home. That's all you're asking for. You're just saying, hey, bring destruction to my home, Lord. Or really, it's not the Lord, it's me. I'm let me bring destruction to my home, Lord. See, a Christ-centered home, the children don't divide parents on disciplinary issues. And all this is rooted in pride. It hardens our mind to where we won't even admit that we're wrong. All right, next week when we jump back into this, we're going to look at this thought here. In a Christ-centered home, children are not to be more intimate with either parent than the parents are with each other. That's important right there. Look, this is the destruction of many homes after you say, how could they be married, 30 years and they get a divorce? I'll tell you why. Because their relationship was with their children and not with each other. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Cleave to his wife. He's going to leave father and mother. So who does that leave left at home? Father and mother. father and mother. This is why no child should be more intimate with either parent than the parents are with each other. It's a protection. Let's pray.